Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
You have reached the San Diego Opera Rehearsal Hotline. This is the schedule for Thursday, March 8th, 2012.
UCSD-TV will film a rehearsal. Company photographer Ken Howard will take pictures of the rehearsal. Photographers from the Union Tribune will shoot the rehearsal. Additional media TVA.
The premise of the piece was that Pasquale is an Italian immigrant who came over to the New World to seek his fortune, and he brought his nephew Ernesto with him to grow up and take over the business and follow in his footsteps.
Or si paglia il nipotino a fare cervellino, vela che si guadagna. Eccolo appunto.
When he got over here and he found a hotel and opened a hotel and had this business going, now he wants Ernesto to get married and become responsible. And Ernesto has assimilated and be kind of come an American, and he wants to choose his own bride. He doesn't want to do his uncle's bidding and go through an arranged marriage. So it becomes a real clash of cultures as well as a clash of age.
And you're really into the story, and then at the end of the story, she starts laughing. Ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. And you're kind of going, like trying to laugh with her, but you thought the story was really good.
Okay. Like, I didn't think it was stupid at all.
No, you didn't think it was stupid at all.
Now we know.
Just get a straight down here. You can do it with energy. Perfect, just like that.
Still go far.
Comedy is tricky because it has to be incredibly specific and yet look totally and completely natural and spontaneous. Because if it looks planned and plotted out, then it's no fun because the audience is in on the joke before you even do the joke. So it takes a great deal of work. You really have to plot it out. You have to kind of do what I say, paint by number occasionally as you're starting it out. Now, you do that in different degrees with different people. In this particular cast, I've been given as a gift four amazing comedians. So I can talk generally about the idea of the joke or the business that's going on that is supposed to be funny, and they immediately get it. Oftentimes, the comedy has to happen within the context of the music because it's not funny unless certain things happen at very specific places in the music. So once again, you're working it out almost choreographically so that the comedy works specifically with the music, and yet it's like the singers are almost making the music happen as opposed to responding to the music and doing a funny bit on a beat. They're actually doing something that happens on that beat, and you're actually making the music happen. It's the music then becomes sort of a reinforcement of the comedy that goes on stage. So it is a rather technical thing. And if we've done our job, you don't see the technique happening, you just are amused.
When you step off the thing and you go back into Sophronia mode,
but like, do you want us to, we did two different versions. We've done a version where I didn't want him to lift me up. You remember? I was like, whoa. And then we did this one where it's like a full. Which one do you like? Which one do you like?
I like them both, actually, but this one seemed very natural.
Yeah.
It like helped you down. And then you get down and then you put.
I've done a lot of Papagenos. I've done a lot of Barber of Seville's. The comic timing has to come through with that. Even The Marriage of Figaro, to find the timing and the reality. I always say you can make La Boheme the funniest opera ever. The last scene of La Boheme when Mimi's dying can become an incredible comedy with just a minor twist of people's actions. You know, if you go up to the bench, he starts coughing, everybody's like, and they walk away, you've got comedy. And it's why Robin Williams can do such fine dramatic work and yet be funny as heck in other things that he does. Because there's such that razor's edge, and it's so exposed so often. I mean, we can't all cry on a dime, but we can look sad. But to make people laugh without taking that comedy too far over the top is what makes it entertainment. Comedy is tough.
Pasquale is a man who's reached 70, and he's lost a bit of that feeling of having the ability to attract women, and I feel like he's trying to reclaim his youth.
Eccoli!
And it starts out very innocently, and he's very, very happy when Malatesta comes in with this prospect. And I believe that he's really excited, and he believes that he can do it. He's so excited and so hyped up that when it comes time when she changes her character from this beautiful, loving girl to this really, just bossing me around everything, it's quite a change for him. And then in the third act, when that slap comes, that is really a game changer, that one there. It really changes the whole situation. It becomes full of pathos. And you actually feel sorry for Pasquale and inside as John Del Carlo. I feel sorry too for him. I mean, and that's what sort of brings out that music and the music there and the words that I say, I'm finished, totally finished.
È finita, Don Pasquale, è finita, Don Pasquale. Hai bel romperti la testa, hai bel romperti la testa.
He's of the old school. They've been over there. They've been in the Wild West long enough to have his nephew Ernesto become sort of the younger thing, and he still retains some of that. I think he was a man of means back home, and he was able to buy the saloon and everything, and even in the original setting, he was a man of means. So he's by no means stupid, you know. I mean, he has the smarts, and he knows what's going on after a while. He's fooled at first, but after a while, he knows what's going on.
This whole thing has gone awry because Don Pasquale, the uncle, does not want Ernesto to marry this widow because of maybe her reputation, as it were, and so threatens to disinherit him.
Saprò ben io trovarlo.
It's that bad intention from Pasquale that sets in motion this whole opera. So it's a sort of wrong to be put right, really, that starts this. So I think she considers, like, it's a wrong that needs another wrong, and maybe two wrongs do make a right in this sense, you know, because he treats Ernesto wrongly, and so she mistreats him to teach him a lesson, and wrong becomes right. I relish playing this role because of the fact that I get to play a character who then plays another character.
mio fratello, il dottor maledetto, cioè, voleva dirlo, ti perde la testa. Rispondete.
Son serva. Mille grazie.
It's great fun. She has a lot of spunk. And you see that in the show, especially in this show, because of it taking place in the Wild West, you know. So you've got this gunslinging, you know, Narina who lives on a ranch. She's a widow, but she can take care of herself. You know, she's got a whip and she's got a gun and she's got a cowboy hat and gauchos. And she doesn't need anyone to take care of her, but she would love someone to take care of her, and, you know, emotionally. And I think that's what draws her to Ernesto.
I feel that he doesn't really have an agenda except for being with Norina, so being with his love. I think what happens is because he's very innocent and kind of trusting, perhaps he hasn't had as much experience as, you know, Malatesta or even Norina, you know, he comes across a little bit not childish, but, you know, just more innocent. I think that he's very passionate, though. He's young. He's very passionate about how he feels about Norina and every situation, you know. When he doesn't understand the trick that's going on yet, you know, he's almost just in shock. How can this really be true? You know, his friend, who he thought was his friend, turns out to be a traitor. Of course, it's all in his mind, but he's reacting very honestly, really. So, I don't think that he's a silly character. I think that he's just very innocent and very straightforward and quite pure, actually. He doesn't have anything angry in him. He's just reacting very honestly to the situation. So, yeah.
Tutto tempo bene, tutto tempo bene. Se poi non inattendere, non hai che a seguire.
Malatesta, to me, is he's the sort of Svengali figure of the entire thing. He's the one that makes everything work. And he has each person going in a direction that are not always sure of what the outcome is going to be. You know, Pasquale going after Norina, not sure, you know, that he doesn't have all the cards in his hand. And Malatesta is sort of the gambler, especially in a production like this, that has the entire deck and knows exactly whose cards and who has what hand to be played.
Pasquale da Corneto, eccetera, eccetera, poi titoli secondo il consueto.
Pasquale is the type of person that we've all seen that they become a dog with a bone, and when they've got that bone and they're so obsessed with it, there's something that sometimes makes you want to push them and see if you can't get the bone away from them. I think he really wants to see the young people happy, and in the end he's hoping to get some, perhaps a monetary gain out of it at the end. We don't really know.
As I conceived this piece, I wanted to be able to create background, different characters that are in every scene. So I drew from the chorus to make these characters.
Yeah, guys, when you're walking over there, the place where you're not going to count anymore, that was your last counting out loud. Now you do it all to yourself, okay? From now on, keep counting.
there are some in practically every scene in the show, and I was just talking to the chorus the other night about how important they are in the telling of the story in this production. I mean, there's a lot of stuff where they are integral to the comedy. The scene where they normally sing off stage, in our case, we've created a little mariachi band that accompanies him. And it's incredibly tricky what they have to do while they're singing this, too. But they're a very integral part of the comedy.
Visually, it's very funny with the movement and everything and the timing. It's all about the timing. And I really believe that the main thing for these comedy scenes are to play them absolutely honestly and seriously in a way, because the audience will see it as very strange. But for myself, I don't think of it as funny when I'm in the character. I just think, what is going on here? And then I play it normal, you know, and I think it makes more of an effect for the audience. Favorite moment musically is my aria in the brothel. The music in the first part of the aria before the cabaletta, it's really special music. It has a long orchestral introduction before I actually start singing with a solo trumpet, which is pretty rare at this time period of music. Besides that, it's a little bit brooding music. He's feeling very sad, which is always my favorite. I really like, excuse me, the idea of me not just reflecting on how my uncle has kicked me out and how my friend has betrayed me and all of these things, but actually telling someone, using someone to kind of release this stress that I have, you know, tell them my woes. And in this case, there's three girls who are there who are very sympathetic to me.
He comes in and he doesn't want the girls to look at him because he's very shy. So there, we need a towel. We need to bring the towel over while he gets undressed. And then on top of that, I make even a further little joke about how, you know, he likes his toy boats in his bath when he's there. We get the sense that he's probably done this a number of times before. The girls know what's up. And then there's a scrub brush because he always likes to have his back scrubbed. So she comes in and scrubs his back. And then he decides he wants to write a letter, so he tells the girl that he needs to write this letter. So she goes and gets this little portable desk. Right away, you've got quite a prop list for this particular scene, and it all is just stuff that's needed to tell the story that we want to tell in that particular scene.
Bubbles on the move,
this generally has the right shape?
Yes.
The
yes.
Bubble shape?
Can you put your initials in it?
I think Ernesto, in this case musically, is very lucky in this show. Everyone is, very pattery, very a lot of words, a lot of talking, and a lot of these kind of lines. And Ernesto has the most melodic lines of the whole show, both arias especially.
Being an ASM assistant stage manager is what ASM stands for. It's the acronym. And you're basically the sort of traffic cop.
Looking good. Looking good.
Or I've also heard the phrase air traffic controller for the stage. Essentially, you are basically, as a conductor conducts a symphony, you are conducting the movement of the pieces and parts of the production backstage. Sometimes as an assistant stage manager, it can be so hectic backstage to where you're constantly in motion, constantly telling people where to go, what to do, that chaos is translated to the audience as a fluidity, a peaceful production. The good thing about being an ASM is that you're also translating what the director wants. You're taking what he or she is artistically trying to convey to the audience, and you're making that happen through the movement on stage and through the pieces of the show, sets, costumes, props, lights, and all of that working together. You are mapping out the show, basically, through paperwork, through post-its in our score. We all carry a score with us while we're cueing artists backstage, and we all have the entrances and exits in our score with post-it notes and all of that, trying to get as organized as possible to make the show run.
Stand by. Go.
San Diego Opera hires an intern each season, and we have a great intern this season. Her name's Anne Louise Wolf, and she during the show, we'll sit on stage left with me, and stage left is the traffic-heavy area of the stage because the dressing rooms are on stage left. Anne Louise is really great at keeping that under control. So it's nice to have another set of eyes and a sharp brain on that side of the stage to help me control things in that area.
As the intern, yes, I make the coffee and I take out the recycling. But the fun part of the job is that I'm a functioning member of the stage management staff in my own right. Because I'm not one of the official ASMs, it gives me a little bit more freedom to be wherever I need to be and do whatever's needed on the production. I help the ASMs whenever they need to. If there's a big entrance, they have to stay with their head in the music to follow the score. I'll check and make sure that everyone's there for them. Sometimes I'll even get to throw cues myself.
Go.
In Don Pasquale, I get to send Pasquale out for one of his entrances while Claire's cueing the chorus. And I'm in charge of pre-setting people on stage a couple of times, making sure everybody is there ready for when the curtain goes out. So I'm sort of the standby extra hand. Interning like this is a great way to get started in the arts because I get to be in a house like this, which is huge, top-of-the-line, A-class work, and I get to learn from the best. When I make my beginning mistakes, it's forgiven and there are other people to help me, so that it's a really great way to sort of get my feet under me to learn the business before I go out and have to do it on my own. I love the fact that I get to come to work every day and listen to beautiful music and play pretend. That's great. I have the best job in the world.
Our set designer, Tony Fanning, was very specific about creating the atmosphere. So there's lots and lots of props which we never even touch but are just there to create. You know, they're set dressing. They're part of the scenery. When I direct a scene, what I'm trying to find is the natural thing that might be going on while they're doing a scene. You know, yes, you are just having a conversation with somebody, but while you're having that conversation, are you drinking coffee? Are you counting your money? What is the action that might be going on while you're having this conversation with the other person? Creating the natural quality of the action calls for a need of properties.
Okay, then we need to look ahead to the next Pasquale office scene, which is...
Ned Crumrie is the head prop master here at the San Diego Opera, and he is fabulous. He is really organized. He's very smart, very great with the rest of his crew. And Ned and I have a great relationship. We communicate very well. We know exactly what the other one needs as far as information.
And is it the same spacing?
Closer to the play.
Same spacing?
On this production, we have a props crew of six, including Ned. And it's a very prop-heavy show in that there are a lot of pieces that tell the story. And David Gately has done a great job, first of all, setting Pasquale in the Wild West and integrating so many props into the piece that it's almost like a collage of the pieces that would have been used in the Wild West in Pasquale's time. And those pieces all tell a brilliant story.
On my drawing, this goes there. And this goes here.
Yeah, we were talking about the previous scene.
Great.
Yeah.
And it's very complicated and very, very meticulous in that if any prop is not in the right spot, it throws the entire action off. And we definitely don't want that to happen. And it hasn't happened, so that's a good thing. But everything has to be in its spot to tell the story the way that David wants it told.
This production is very busy. Very busy. There's lots of props and lots of things going on. So at first, I have to sort of navigate my way through doing the singing, doing the text, and then working with the props. So the props, I try to incorporate them in whatever I'm saying. At the moment I'm saying, you know, I try to incorporate what David has given us. And once they're incorporated, and once I feel comfortable with the text and with where I'm going on stage, then I can even use them. Like, for example, just this squirrel, my little friend. And people will notice him on the desk, and... there's actually a point in the third act, Wretched, where I actually talk to him in the beginning of the third act, before she comes on. And I actually explain to him, like, can you believe what's happening to me? And I mean, I love that. I mean, it's just right in the words. It's right there. So it's great. I enjoy working with props.
Ad ogni modo a provarmi, se poi fallisce il tentativo, eccola a noi.
And please do not leave a message, as this machine does not accept incoming messages.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.